Welcome back to the second half of the Granite City Radio Theater here live from the Pioneer Place on 5th and broadcasting live on KVSC 88.1 FM, your sound alternative. And now it's your hosts, Eric and Tina.
Yeah.
Hey.
We are back. Did you all enjoy that intermission? 15 minutes to walk around, get a drink. I hope you're all doing great. What a fantastic audience, Tina.
Oh, my goodness. I'm having so much fun. How about you guys? How are you doing? This is cool.
Wow. Is this more fun than watching a debate? Yeah. Yeah. And apparently safer than riding a donkey. There was an argument in the intermission in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
One of the trivia questions.
Yes.
The only mammal that can jump. Dave Gangler, one of our actors in the mystery drama, has pointed out that he has never seen a manatee jump.
Yeah, I don't know
so
if I have either.
We're debating whether the manatee is a mammal that can jump or not. Although
anybody
I've never
know?
Seen one on land or period. So
I've
maybe
seen one.
Yeah? Oh, wow.
Big old baked potatoes in the water. Just made me hungry. It was worthless.
Was that in Lake George?
Yeah, that was just down the street, Lake George.
I don't think that was a manatee, sweetheart.
Oh, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, our band tonight is back on stage. They are fantastic. Please welcome back Collective Unconscious.
Yeah!
This song requires some audience participation. Well, the mountain is not what they say. You cannot live there from day to day. The riverside is steep. The money don't come cheap. Cannot decide what I should pray to the God, to the God, gods of the mountainside. 50 feet tall and 30 feet wide, God of the mountainside. Well, cubit this, cubit that, I ain't no sophomore. Myself off the floor. Drink from the river, sing on trees. Someday I'll give up my wicked ways. I'll learn to settle down and give my heart to you and let my life. Do what I want.
beep, boop, beep, 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 boop, boop.
Don't worry, Ole, it's ringing.
Well, good.
Donna, it's Lena. Don't hang up on me, Donna. This is important. Yes, I know you're listening to the Granite City Radio Theater. We just got home from the Lutefisk feed, and we've been listening in the car, but we missed that last part of the Shades Brigade. No, Donna, I need you here. We're not sure what's going on. Yes, Ole's here, too. Can you get us up to speed?
Can you put her on that speakerphone there?
Donna hates the speakerphone.
Oh, but I can't hear it, don't you know?
I'll just fill you in as she goes.
Oh, fine then.
You betcha it's fine. Donna, are you still there, Donna?
You know, I'm not very comfortable with this. Between the two of you, you never get anything right. I remember the time that Sven and I went fishing, and you two called us right out there in the middle of Lake George to ask how to change a light bulb, of all things.
Well, that lamp is from Europe. Ole, you know how I don't trust a metric system. Plus, you shouldn't be fishing and phoning anyhow. Distractions can kill. But listen. Donna says Jack fell into a vat of pudding and is having to eat his way out.
Oofta, a vat of pudding? Oh, that makes about as much sense as all those darn traffic circles that have been popping up all over town.
Oh, language, Ole. Yes, a vat of pudding. Tapioca, to be exact.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, cheese and rice. I see what you're doing there. Oh, for gross. And she says that Quinn ran off with Babe the Blue Ox.
What? Babe wasn't even in the first part.
Yep, they ran off down to Iowa.
Iowa? They don't even have hot dish down there. They have casserole.
And they got married.
Well, that's not surprising. It is Iowa, after all.
And it turns out that Ernie is secretly addicted to maple syrup.
Shut the front door.
Oh, yeah. He's mainlining it and everything. Just like your brother, Sven.
Well, now, that's hitting a little too close to home for me. I thought this thing was supposed to be funny. Maple syrup mainlining is serious business for sure.
Well, they don't call it drama for nothing now, do they, Ole?
Lena, I think I'm going to have to write a letter to the St. Cloud Times about this.
Ole, you know you can't do that anymore after your Michelle Bachman incident.
She really did make a pass at me, you know.
Ole, she did not.
Well, what in the world do you call it when a woman keeps mailing photos of herself to you? And she's all smiling and promising things and stuff. You know, I find family values to be very sexy.
Holy hush. Donna's trying to tell me more.
I heard she's going to deport all the Asian carp.
Holy, I think you're full of carp. Donna? What? No.
Lena, what is it?
Takashi has the rabies.
Oh, for... She's Jewish?
Not rabbi, Ole's. Rabies, you know, she's a spirit of many worlds. And one of her aspects consists of being a hyena, which is a kind of dog, you know? And Donna says... Wait a minute, Donna. I can hear your TV in the back there, Donna. Are you even listening to the Granite City Radio Theater, or is that the presidential debate? No wonder your story didn't make any sense. Oh, for Donna, I will talk to you later.
So was it Obama or Romney that fell into pudding there? And you wonder why I vote for the cocktail party, huh?
Holy. With that kind of civic engagement, I'm not surprised SAT scores are so low.
It's okay, Lena. All the kids need to know these days is the LOL, ROFL, LMAF, LMNOP, whatever. Everything is just multiple choice other than that. Hey, it's starting again. I bet we can catch up real quick, don't you know?
Oh, I hope so. Hey, Ole, turn the radio on down in the boathouse. I'm going to go get me some crappies.
We were deep underground, walking through an elaborate tunnel system that we hoped would lead us to the Temple of Dambuzo. Once there, we had to locate Ernie, who the Kashi had willingly given over to the Wendell army so that she could track them to the temple. However, before we could forge ahead, there was the matter of the walls of the tunnel. They were, as Quinn had pointed out, moving.
Jack, hold up your torch. The walls are not only moving, they're making new paths. Look here. The path we're on is closing, and as it closes, a new one is opening up.
It's a dag-bang maze.
It's never the same. Well, we know this much. We can't go back. Keep moving forward and fast. We don't want to get caught in a tunnel that's closed. We picked up the pace, picking our path to the nearest available open tunnel, sometimes narrowly escaping them closing in on us. I couldn't figure it out, if the tunnels were actually closing or if it was some kind of hallucination, some kind of magic designed to make us panic, lose our way. But we couldn't lose our way. We had no idea where we were going or where we were. So we just kept moving.
This way! Over here!
Look! It's closing! This way! Quick!
It went on like this for what seemed like hours. Even worse, I had no idea how long the torches were going to hold out. The last thing we needed was to be doing this in the dark.
Jack, my torch is out.
I haven't got much left myself, I'm afraid.
Well, then we're going to have to find a way out of here. And fast.
I don't know about you, Jack, but that's what I've been doing for a while now.
Quinn's torch went out, and we were left with just mine. We watched as the final torch flickered out slowly, finally leaving us in complete darkness.
Well, that's that. We're in a pickle now.
Unless what I've been thinking is right. Maybe these tunnels aren't opening and closing at all. Maybe it's an illusion. Look, if we just walk forward without our eyes to deceive us, just maybe. We began walking straight ahead. I kept waiting for the wall to hit me in the face, but it never did. We started to gain confidence and picked up our pace. Until...
Ow! Dang, blang it! I hit something! Oh, I think I broke my dang, blang nose!
This isn't a tunnel wall, it's wood. It's a door! Look! Look for a handle!
Got it!
The light from the other side poured in. We had to squint and wait for our eyes to adjust to the harsh glare. Once they did, I could see we were in a room, stone walls on all sides. Torches lit the walls, and the smell was overwhelming. It smelled like Wendell. Once my eyes had completely adjusted, I took a look around. There were three doors. Well, this has to be inside the temple. I guess we try and open one of these doors. Be ready, men.
Jack, look out!
Aha! Holy jumping manatees! Look at the size of that chicken! I don't look too happy either!
That's no chicken. Those teeth are razor sharp. Shut the door quick before it attacks!
I'll take door number two.
As we approached the second door, we could hear what sounded like groaning. That's a man. Quick, open the door! There on the floor of the second room lied Ernie, who was dazed and tied up, but he was alive. Quick, on time. Wake him up.
Come on, Ernie, old chap. Wake up.
Where am I? Quinn, hey, they got you too?
We're here to save you. Now come on, get up. You can do it.
You two get on either side of him and help him walk. We've got to move and hope that that door number three over there is our ticket out of here. All right. Here's the door. Everybody, cross your fingers. The door opened to a stairway that led straight up about five flights.
Well, looks like we're gonna get a workout.
All right, everybody, let's move. After a few minutes, we made it up to the top of the stairs. It opened up to a huge indoor courtyard. It was dank and dark, and light poured through from cracks in the walls. How do you feel, Ernie?
I'm just fine, Jack. I can walk myself now. I'm just a little dizzy, that's all.
So, back to normal, then?
No. Jack, something ain't right. Getting Ernie seems just a little too easy, don't you think?
I do think. Either it's some sort of trap, or hopefully something has happened and everybody's preoccupied. The Kashi!
Never thought I'd be glad to hear that god-awful sound again.
It came from that way. We ran directly across the stone courtyard, across the giant open room. We began looking for a way out into the shadows.
Jack, I don't want to alarm you, but that doesn't sound the same. It sounds like she's in trouble.
Keep looking for a way out. She's probably doing it for us to find her.
This way! Behind this wall!
We need something heavy. We gotta break through this wall.
I'll throw Ernie.
No, that won't work.
Shut up, you two. Wait, grab that piece of lumber in the corner. Put it in this crack in the lower part of the wall here. All right. Put this rock under it. Okay. Everybody, push on the back end. Here we go. Like a fulcrum.
That did it.
We entered the room through the broken wall, and we were in another large room. In the center, on top of an elevated stage, was an ornate throne. The room went all the way up to the top of the temple, 8 stories, capped by a glass ceiling. Gathered in a mass around the throne were thousands of Wendell, who had all turned around and were staring at their unwelcome rivals, us.
You think it's too late to rebuild that wall and start over?
Well, this is a quandary.
Lots of monkey men.
Why aren't they attacking us?
They're just standing there.
The Wendell had turned away from us and turned their attention back toward the throne.
Look, on the stage, with the throne.
2 figures were on the stage. I was having a hard time making them out when...
It's the Kashi.
Who's that with her, Jack?
That is Dambuzo, if I'm not mistaken. The 2 were circling each other. Dambuzo was tall, muscular, and imposing. As they circled Dambuzo's back, came into our view. And there, on the back of his head...
Another Kashi! What was that T-Lock said? Some are not Kashi, they are the Devil's Warriors in disguise?
That's it then! It's an evil Kashi!
That's why our Kashi is here. She's here to defeat the male Kashi.
Then how did it get here? The female Kashi said she appeared because of a collective consciousness desired it to be so.
So, the village wanted him here?
I got it. The village. The village was desperate. It wanted control of its own destiny and freedoms. And in their frustration, it became a desire for power. That must have manifested into the male Kashi.
Which is why they had to bring us, the Kashi, to the temple. T-Lock knew that his village would be too easily swayed by the allure of his power.
Hey, they're saying something.
I command you, go back to the depths of hell where you are from. Which you came. You are not wanted here. You are not needed here.
You are wrong. I have been summoned.
You were missummoned by desperate people with misguided motives. Their desperation is not rooted in power, but in freedom.
Power is freedom, Kashi.
No, Kashi. Freedom is power. This is where you misinterpret their desires.
Clever wordplay does not impress me.
Jack, why do the Wendell just stand there? Why do they not attack the female Kashi? Or us?
Because they're controlled by the male Kashi. Without direct orders or communication, they're nothing but mindless puppets. All of his focus is on that female Kashi.
I will kill you now, Kashi!
I am prepared to die, and I'm taking you with me!
The 2 Kashi lunged at each other and collided in midair. A great light came from them as they hung in the air. Grasped in each other's clutches, they began to turn and spin as the light grew brighter and brighter until finally... We ducked down behind rock pews and shielded our heads. When we arose, we were the only ones there.
Where are all the monkey men?
Where did everybody skedaddle off to? Did the blow up?
The Wendell army was created by the male Kashi. When he died, they disappeared.
Can we go home? I'm hungry.
We made our way back to the village of Salazi, where we were greeted with a hero's welcome, and much to Ernie's satisfaction, a giant feast. But something was still bothering me, and I confronted T-Lock in his hut when we had a moment alone. T-Lock, I know that since it was the desire of the village that summoned the evil Kashi in the first place, that you trusted no man in your village to enter the temple. And even if they did, they wouldn't have had the power to stop him or his army. Why did you need us? Why couldn't the female Kashi have gone by herself?
She exists only when there are those who desire her to exist. You needed her, and therefore, she could stay alive.
T-Lock provided us with a boat to set sail for India, then eventually back home. At least, that was the plan. We never did make it to India. But that is our next adventure.
Be sure to tune in next time for another thrilling adventure of Shades Brigade. You're listening to KVSC St. Cloud, and now back to your hosts.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a moment to introduce you to the actors of Shades Brigade. Down there on the far end, our assistant Foley and my brother, Terry Webster. Our Foley artist, an extraordinary man who's done many shows here at the Pioneer Place Theater and also was in Tony and Tina's Wedding with me, Mr. Christopher Whiting. That's Jay Terry. Yes. Over here, this gentleman is the founder of Mystery Cafe, 25 years running in the Twin Cities, and the originator of interactive theater, by the way. Mr. Lee Adams. Lee was also here in the works of Shakespeare Bridge, and so was Christopher. Over here, a man that I've been on stage with just recently in the 39 Steps, a tremendous actor from the Twin Cities, Mr. Dave Gangler. And of course, Tina Van Her, right? Arkashi. All right, T. What are we doing now?
Well, I'd like to introduce Mr. Eric Webster right here, huh? Nicely done.
All right, so yes, 88.1 FM KVSC is a community and educational public radio station and part of the AMPERS network. Now that stands for the Association of Minnesota Public and Educational Radio Stations, diverse radio for Minnesota communities. KVSC provides free volunteer training for students and community members, and it is now that part of the program when KVSC gets its chance to further its educational mission. This is a series of public service announcements we like to call Just Sayin'.
KVSC's classic rock show you when to remind KVSC listeners to always use your seatbelts, especially while on your couch listening to deep cuts on vinyl during the classic rock show from 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. every Sunday evening at 88.1 FM. Remember, only you can prevent rocking out rug burns. Just saying.
Yay, rug burns, yay. KVSC's sports department live broadcasting over 30 SCSU sports events. That includes football, men's hockey, women's hockey, basketball, volleyball, wrestling, soccer. And we'd like to remind KVSC listeners that not only are hockey pucks not edible, I feel like I'm doing a Carson bit, but also that pugilism is neither an affinity for small, goofy-looking dogs, nor is it stealing of others' creative material and claiming it to be your own. Just saying.
The Surly Fighters Improv Show featuring the SCSU Improv-a-Cats every Thursday night on the second floor of DB Searles, beginning at 10:30. Would like to remind KVSC listeners that bath salts are meant to be used in your bathtub and not meant to enhance your face-to-face social skills. Just saying.
That would explain that 10-hour bath. It was a weird night. All right, here we go. KVSC's Urban Invasion, bringing hip-hop against homophobia to the Atwood Mall on Thursday, October 18th. Would like to remind KVSC listeners that in order to stay fresh to deaf, we're not talking deaf like what, we're talking deaf like what. You know what? I have no idea what I'm... Can you...
I think it's like deaf like what? Oh.
Will you read this for me? Because I'm 46 and white.
It's best to stay ice grill at the J.O. and then get busy with your grizzly with half knot on the block, just saying. I understood about one word of that. Just saying.
Sounds like a great show. Ha ha.
The Granite City Radio Theater House Band, Creative Unconscious, would like to remind KVSC listeners that no matter how awesome the idea might sound, gravy should never, ever be used in a chocolate fountain. Just saying.
Word. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Collective Unconscious.
I am Superman. I know what's happening.
You know, that song is rather apropos because St. Cloud's Superman is... if any of you have been to the Variety Hour, you know he and I have had kind of a torrid relationship in the past. But I wrote a little poem about him, and I thought I would like to share it with you if you'd like to hear it. Where heroism stood. There is a man who always stands with feet spread far apart. He wears a cape, and some would say it is a form of art, the way he nods at cars and kids on bikes. He's even waved to me. In Times Square, we'd have to pay him, but here he works for free. Why did he ever don the cape and take it to the street? Was it out of boredom? Was he feeling incomplete? Perhaps one day we'll understand our corner-dwelling man and realize that all this time he had a master plan. One day he'll be a hero of reality TV. He's got the look and most of our marketability. A talent pool you see these days is smaller than before. If you need proof, just look no further than the Jersey Shore. They'll call the show The Granite Man, and after season 3, we'll all line up to purchase it on Blu-ray DVD. And then we'll say we knew him when, and shower him with praise. We'll all be reminiscing about his corner-standing days. 'Cause there are those now who see the man as nothing but a pest, and I myself was one of them, but I've put that to rest. For now I realize that he is no different than myself. I'd take the chance to have my DVD adorn your shelf. It is unlikely that his plan will work out in the end. But there's a hero in this town, even if just pretend. A symbol of America and of the common good. One day we'll say, here is the spot where heroism stood.
That's what you wrote?
I did, myself, this morning.
Okay, but you said you were going, I mean, we got like 15 minutes left here. You said you had other stuff.
Well, it's radio. They can't tell I don't have a watch on. Anyway.
Please tell me you have something else.
Well, Jeff wrote a little something for me, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeff, like we all know Jeff, like
yeah,
a share.
Jeff.
Share, Jeff.
What, Jeff the poet?
Ah.
You know, yeah, they know Jeff. They know Jeff.
We all know Jeff.
Mr. KVSC.
Oh, there you go. Well, what are you going to do for us?
Maestro, if you please.
Oh, boy. It's lonely out on this trail. A guy could lose himself in his thoughts. Come on, Clint. Snap out of it. Oh, who am I kidding? Lazy boy, I need you back, baby. You were the only recliner that ever understood me. I'm sorry I cheated on you with that other chair during the Republican National Convention. She never meant anything to me. Just some cheap empty seat I found in the hallway. I'm sorry, baby. You didn't have to run off. I never knew you were so sensitive, but I should have. How I squeezed your armrests during Rawhide reruns, and you squeezed right back. Or how you always knew where the remote was hiding. How you held me when I napped. You were the campfire in the dark and stormy night of my soul. And now you're gone. But I still know you've got to be out there somewhere. I've crossed deserts, highlands, forests, prairies, lakes after you. And I'll not rest until I find you. It's close to midnight. Looks like I'm coming into some kind of downtown. I'm so tired I didn't even see any road signs. I wonder where I am. I'll tie up here and walk into the veranda lounge. Hey, barkeep, can you tell a weary, lovelorn traveler what city this is?
Well, this is St. Cloud, Minnesota, of course. Can I get you a beverage?
Yeah, anything off that top shelf. Straight would be fine. So, what can you tell me about this St. Cloud? Has there been any interesting furniture passing through lately?
Well, St. Cloud is pretty swell. There's lots of nature trails and over 90 parks, 5 colleges in the area, and quite a lot of tech industry. Plus, there's a very lively nightlife. About the furniture, though, I wouldn't know anything about that, but Madame Papasan over there might.
Oh, yeah. You mean that lady in the classic French rattan bistro chair with a real mahogany inlay?
She's got the best seat in the house.
I'll have to introduce myself. Excuse me, ma'am. Is this seat taken?
I see you've got excellent taste.
I hear you're the local furniture connoisseur.
You could say I'm an armchair philosopher.
Well, you're just what I need. Who'd have thought in St. Cloud I'd find an expert on armchairs?
I wouldn't be the first in this town to be an expert in a field no one has ever heard of. From Sturgis to Stuttgart, some high-caliber people have wandered up in this city of St. Cloud, but every now and then a truly unique character wanders into view. Why now look, it's Clint Eastwood. What really tears at thy cliché heart, Clint?
Well, I've had a loved one leave me, and all I want is to explain and maybe get a second chance.
Ah, was it a blues song that shook because it used to be a love song before we used our phones too often? Did your fire die out, Clint?
No, it wasn't like that. I did something I shouldn't have done.
Did you lose your temper?
No, we lived in perfect bliss. Lazy Boy was the only girl for me.
You know, sometimes, yes, you know, sometimes a lady can get jealous even if you say she's number one. Are you sure there wasn't someone else? Did it look like your eye was lounging on another's cushions?
Yes. There was someone else. I was recently seen out with another chair. But there were many others before that. I've had sofas, davenports, love seats, hammocks. But my rest and relaxation, my real peace, was only ever found within her arms. But since the convention, I feel so unforgiven.
Sounds to me. You know what? It sounds to me, Clint, like you need to forgive yourself. And if it was meant to be, she'll come back to you. And if not, you know what? I'd try Becker. I hear they have a whole world of furniture down there.
Thank you. I'll do that. And thanks for the drink.
Hey, lady, you think that pale rider will ever find what he's looking for?
You know what? He might get lucky, and if he does, it'll make his day.
Headless cowboy monkey. We went down to see a rodeo the other day. Upon a collie's back he rode around the bales of hay. He wore a little vest and spurs, a handkerchief of black. The cowboy monkey was written on his back. Headless cowboy monkey. Now all the people yelled in ways that he's went round the ring. Looks so fine a riding there, spurs jingling. But all at once the collie broke and bolted for a gate on Hero Street. But it was much too late.
Headless
cowboy monkey. A flying snap was heard, the crowd began to wail. Our hero was decapitated neatly by the rail. And then the dog decided to jump back out on the track. The cowboy monkey, headless on his back.
Headless cowboy monkey.
Now by the time they caught the dog, the ring was strewn with gore. Our hero's blood was spreading like an ocean on the floor. And many people claim they saw his monkey soul fly. Now he rides forever, the primate in the sky.
Headless cowboy monkey.
Headless
cowboy monkey.
Headless
cowboy monkey.
Yeah. Nice. All right, boys. Here's what we're going to do. You can take that down. Schnatch, we're running a little bit ahead of time. We're going to do something else. Once again, let's hear for Collective Unconscious. We scheduled the 9:30, have just a few minutes, and so we decided. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together again for Mr. Lee Adams. Lee, come on out here.
Here's the deal, since we had a little time. Lee is actually bilingual, and he speaks fluent Canadian. And yeah, he's very studied for years. And so what we'd like to do is show you this amazing skill.
Yeah.
You should get scotch.
That's bourbon.
Yeah. Awesome. So anyway.
More importantly, Eric, that's my bourbon.
Right. Somebody give me a name of a movie. Name a movie.
Fargo.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
No, Fargo won't work.
That's the worst movie possible.
Top Gun. Here we go, Top Gun. Okay, everybody, get into the planes and get a nickname.
Okay.
All right. What?
Smokey the Bandit.
Oh, geez, I got a big mustache and I drive real fast.
Okay.
One more. He's fantastic. What?
Snakes on a plane.
Snakes on a plane. I had a different version of that movie. There we go. Snakes on a plane. Okay, now boarding at gate 50. Holy crap, look out for the snakes.
Okay.
Mr. Lee Adams. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage, Miss Tina Van Herr. Yes. Fantastic. All right, Collective Unconscious, you guys are awesome. Everybody, thank you once again for tuning in to the Granite City Radio Theater. I'm Eric Webster.
And this has been Tina Van Herr, hoping you'll join us next time on December 12th for more comedy, music, and drama.
Have a great night. Thank you, St. Cloud.
KVSC's Granite City Radio Theater was presented with funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and was produced in partnership with the Pioneer Place on Fifth Theater. Your hosts have been Eric Webster and Tina Van Herr. Their fellow actors were Lee Adams, David Gangler, Jay Terry, Susan Victoria Cross, Leanne Livingston, and Grant Hakey. Our producers in Rays of Bright Sunshine have been Adam Terry and Jeff Carmack. Musical director and collective unconscious hamster wrangler is Muggsy Lauer. Foley sound effects artist and Doppler effect conspiracy theorist is Christopher Whiting. Writers have included Eric Webster, Jeff Carmack, Adam Terry, Jay Terry, Dan Barth, Rain Hoken, and Derek Elhart. Trivia masters and political liaisons are Ray Hoken and Dan Barth. Stage manager and paper cut specialist is Emily Aiken. Sound engineer and microphone juggler is Jeremy White. Lighting and technical engineer who will come to your home to change your light bulbs is Brent Anderson. KVSC live technology supporter, magic, and roof climber is Alex Hartman. Alex Hartman's engineering henchmen have been Jim Gray and the ever enigmatic Patrick St. John. KVSC studio technician back in the little basement that bumps is Ben Perkle. And this is Dana Johnson letting you know that we look forward to seeing you on December 12th for our next show. Good night, everybody from KVSC and the Pioneer Place Theater.